It's 8:46 on the clock, and we will call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, May 9th, 2018. We will start out by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann, and Juergens will be gone all day. Consent agenda. Number one is the general agenda. Number two is approved minutes of the meeting held April 25th, 2018. Three, approve all claims through May 9th, 2018 in the amount of $548,459.77. Accept claim number 18050083 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $16. And claim number 18050089 to RL Tiemann Construction in the amount of $22,326.83 to be voted on separately below. Four, approve and place on file correspondence received. Five, approve and place on file the Cortland Fire and Rescue 2017 annual report. Six, approve register of deeds fees report and district court summary fee report for the month of April 2018. Seven, approve canceling check number 18040024 issued to Gastroenterology Specialties in the amount of $129.96 and check number 18040267 to Voice News in the amount of $19.66. Number eight, approve to surplus 2008 Ford Explorer 4x4 SUV with 169,286 miles. VIN number 1FMEU73E98UA17129 and also a 2009 Dodge Charger two-wheel drive with 235,954 miles. VIN number 2B3KA43TX9H569130 to be sold on Purple Wave Auction. Number 9, approved utility permit number 1100, Black Hills, Nebraska Gas Utility Company will be trenching 8-inch wide, 5-foot below the bottom of ditches for 66 feet across Township Road to place 2-inch polyurethane natural gas pipeline. I think there's placed 2 inches in there twice. Need to cross the second one out. Located in the southwest 4th of Section 33 and southeast 4th of Section 32, Township 5 North, Range 7 East, Hanover Township. Number 10, approved specs and call for bids on paving Hickory Road railroad track approaches. Bids to be open June 6, 2018 at 9:15 a.m. Questions?
Move to approve.
Second.
On item 10, Dylan, I didn't read the bid specs. I know you put that in and I forgot to read. Does that include anything we have to have as far as spotters, things like that for the railroad? Is there any of that required?
Yes, there is. I talked to Donnie Cleakin with the BNSF, and I asked him, he was the one out there when they redone the crossing, and he is an official title, but he's the person that's there when there's work being done on the railroad tracks. I asked him, I said, do I need to have a permit when we put this out for bids for a contractor to do this? He said, no, he says, all I have to do, I'll have to be, myself or someone else will have to be on the site when you're working within 20, 25 feet of the tracks.
Is there any fee or anything with that, or he'll provide somebody to be there for the contractor?
As far as I know, he'll be there. He never related.
Okay.
Generally, there is, in my experience.
Well, I mean, sometimes you have to have a whole crew there, and that can cost more than the project.
Well, I don't know. You know, we have the agreement with them, but I don't know if in that agreement, I don't remember anymore if anything like that would have been specified or not in that agreement for how much we owe them for them upgrading the railroad track. Because that was, you know, that's probably been a couple years ago that we entered into that. We did that, didn't we, before we started even on the Hickory Road?
Yeah, that's been a little bit.
Yeah. And I don't know if there's anything in there or not. There probably isn't, but I don't know if there'd be anything like that or not in there.
Should we ask if there's any fees associated with that? I mean, we could still approve this and always add addenda or something to the bid, just so. Geez, I remember one we did in Steel City. It was $20,000 or something for the people that just had to stand there and watch because it was a main line there. It might not just hurt to see if there's any monetary amount that has to go along with that.
Any more discussion? Well, we had a motion made by
Teeman and
seconded by Bauman. Yeah, but I didn't read it into the record or whatever. So, any other discussion or questions on the consent agenda? If not, vote 6-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove claim number 1805-0083 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $16.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Hill, second by Teeman. Vote 6-0 in favor. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove claim number 1805-0089 to RL Teeman Construction in the amount of $22,326.83. This brings total of claims approved through May 9, 2018 to $570,802.60.
So moved.
Second to approve.
Motion by Byers and seconded by Bauman.
Me.
Hill.
Oh, Hill.
Oh, sorry. I didn't say.
I didn't look over there to see who talked. I just thought I heard it. So. Motion by Hill. Second by Hill. I mean, motion by Byers. Vote. 5 in favor with Teeman abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Seeing none, we'll move on to committee reports. We're your timed event, Robert, at 9 o'clock. So when it gets 9 o'clock on the clock here, we'll switch over to that. Billings and Ground Winter Lights. I'll just make one comment. I don't know if they were still up there when everybody else came, but this rig on this side of the courthouse was way up top this morning. That's a little ways up there. That's all I had to say when I looked up there.
They've been working like crazy. Davey is on vacation, so...
Committee meetings.
Well, the other day, Don said they were participating. The guy was right there outside the window the whole time in our committee meetings. But this morning, they were way up top on the, I call it the, maybe that's a chimney or something they were working on. That rig was quite a ways up in the air, so.
There are no negatives that I know of. Everything's very positive.
And that is part of the project that we approved. That they worked on this other corner, west side on the south end last fall, and this they're coming back in and finishing that part of the project. So, equalization.
Nothing.
Finance and insurance.
Terry's gone, so I'll read through a couple of the big claims. Echo Group, $12,089. That's for those floodlights on the outside of the courthouse. Motorola Solutions, $16,544. That's supplies for the Corvette Tower. Beatrice Concrete, $73,700. That's gravel product. Contact Engineering, $20,900 for culverts. RL Teeman, $22,000 for gravel hauling. And Rock On, $6,842, that's gravel hauling. They're about halfway on the township roads. Also had a new 4-H director hired at the extension office that's a university employee, not ours.
That's basically replacing Paul Hayes' position then? They've hired somebody then?
Yeah, so there'll be additional people there. And I guess the only real discussion at finance was there's some old invoices.
Oh, Nicole. Sorry, I was wrong. Nicole is replacing Paul Hayes, so this is...
Will there be an additional person, though? Wasn't that what Nicole talked about last time, or no?
If it's 4-H director, it's different. It's new.
Oh, because that was Jane. Jane has something to do with it.
I thought Jane Eastham did that, but...
She'll be the assistant. Assistant.
Oh, so the extension will pay for another one, but they wouldn't just pay for Jane, who's there... For how many years? So they want us to pay for Jane, and then they're going to have another one. But they didn't want to pay for Jane, so now we need two to do a job that Jane's done for how many years?
It may be so that we can control hours. That way we can just stay at a regular 40-hour week like everyone else.
maybe the university's help there.
Maybe we'll have to visit with Nicole and have her come and explain to us, I guess, what's going on then, or what has taken place, I guess.
She'll be here in 2 weeks, I think.
In 2 weeks? Okay, good.
And then the only discussion we had, there were some invoices from 2017. We put them through this time, and then we'll, if there's any more, I think we'll probably bring it here and see if we're going to pay them or not.
Did have a little bit of discussion then, too, starting just because of the budget. Normally, we do start this early a little bit on the budget, more of housekeeping stuff, and the fact that there will be, Don will be sending out to each of the departments to start working on their budgets so that we can get that going. Don did bring the agreements we have with the EMSs or whatever, or the rescue squads in the county, and that was a 3-year agreement we had last year. So we don't need to send that out this year and have that renewed or redone or whatever. So we should be good on that one. But we'll continue at these next meetings, especially committee meetings and stuff, and start working on the budget and stuff, because that'll be here quicker than we think.
Matt, did you say you put something on the agenda just in case there was anything to discuss, or no, just at committee meetings?
Yeah. I think several years ago we started to just, when we get close to budget, just put you know, like 2018-19 budget discussion. That way it's always on there. If someone wants to bring something up, you know, we can have that discussion. You can always do it as part of finance, but that way it kind of stands alone on its own. So technically, we only have to have one meeting, but that's not a good way to do it. It's better to do it months in advance, multiple meetings.
Did we do that then?
We'll start that next meeting. We'll put that as a separate line on their discussion on 2018-19 budget. That way, if we need to, we can. Stuff, so,
yeah. I'm going to offer.
Well, then it's more the fact that it's there so that we see it and we don't forget it.
It's just being prepared. It's getting ahead of time.
I'm going to go ahead. No one took me up on it last year. Whatever department lowers their budget the most, I'll get pizza for their office. Nobody was interested last year, but I'm still hopeful that maybe somebody would lower their budget. And
what if it's the county board that lowers our budget the most? That will still stand for us too. Or
I guess we'll have pizza here. I'd really like it if it was a bigger budget than the county board's, but or a bigger department.
So let it be noted that the finance chairman is bribing people with pizza.
Well, you didn't realize that everybody put pizza in their budget anyhow.
It'd be nice. It'd be nice to see reduction.
I'll buy the dessert pizza.
Good deal.
Okay. Human resource, employee relations.
Oh, my.
Law enforcement, emergency management. Well, let's wait a minute. We just have 1 minute here and stuff. I think we can even start, unless Robert knows of somebody else that's coming or something. Otherwise, we do have a timed event at 9 o'clock, and it's 8:59 o'clock, so I think we'll just go ahead and start here a minute early. And we have Veterans Honor, Robert Schoen and Phil.
Good morning. Eric, I think there's been several years my budget has decreased and I've never seen any pizza. So,
is that right?
Yes, it is.
Look at that. That's good.
You will. Hey, with interest with breadsticks.
Yes, yes.
I can probably get a personal pan for your office there.
At this time, it's my honor to introduce Robert Schoen. He served in the United States Army from February 20th of 1952 to January 20th, 1954. He served in Japan and Korea. He was a medic, it looks like, in Korea, and he received the Korean Service Medal with 3 Bronze Service Stars, United Nations Service Medal, National Defense Service Medal, and the Good Conduct Medal. He was discharged from the Army at Camp Carson, Colorado on January 20th, 1954. At this time, I'd like to introduce Robert.
Well, I want to thank the county commissioners for naming me the honor. I don't think that I deserved it, probably, but then I'm very happy to have it. If you wanted to know a little bit more, I wrote some things down.
We'd be excited. It would be great. Yes.
Of what happened. Yes, and thank you very much. So, February 20th, 1952, I left Beatrice for Camp Crowder, Missouri, inducted into the Army there and sent to Camp Pickett, Virginia, for 8 weeks of infantry and 8 weeks of medical basic. Went home on furlough for 10 days, then off to Camp Stoneman in San Francisco, California. Then to the Far Eastern Command, boarded the Gentle Black for 13 days on the Pacific. To Camp Drake in Japan to CBR Chemical, Biological, and Radiological School. For 3 weeks there, highlight of that school was boarding the bus, and they sent us to Hiroshima, Japan. And there they showed us where the atomic bomb was dropped in 1945. It was unbelievable destruction that was still there. All they did was open the streets so you could drive through it. But you still had to go through with your gas masks on. So after that, was sent to 14th Transportation Port Battalion in Kunsan, Korea, where I was a medic in the dispensary and drove the ambulance there on emergencies. Yes, the service medals that I won, he announced and was discharged from Camp Carson, Colorado. And was very happy to be home, and I was also happy that I could help people in Korea. My mother's ladies' aide sent us a lot of clothes, and I went out to the Korean town, and I distributed clothes to the needy there. Yeah, one thing about it, though, I had a whole box of jelly beans in the front of the pickup, and the little kids took that while I was distributing the clothes. They got hungry, so that was okay.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you, Robert, very, very much for your service, and Matt has a little something for you here that from the county board.
General, this is just a small token of our appreciation from the county board and the citizens of Gage County for your service to our country.
I will hang that up in the room.
Thank you again, and it's our pleasure.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Robert. Back to the agenda. We will next go with law enforcement emergency management. And Lisa couldn't be here today.
Yeah. Monday morning, the big discussion was on the tower as far as emergency management goes. The tower down in Blue Springs, which withstood 85-mile-an-hour winds again and continues to stand in its place just like it has for many years previously, but it is scheduled to be taken down soon by human hands, not by nature.
So was the wind measured in kilometers an hour, or?
I believe that was miles per hour, Matt. Okay. I believe.
Yeah.
So
you said the tower did fall or did not?
No, it will by human hands. As far as law enforcement goes, Gus had a vehicle that took on some hail damage. Probably going to leave that one alone, as our deductible is probably still going to create more expense than what really is necessary for repairing that vehicle. Other than that, I don't have anything law enforcement wise.
Well, Lisa updated a little bit on the Horvat Tower. I think they're waiting for an electrician right now to get that electric line laid in there and stuff, so that there's work continuing on that tower, so that hopefully that when we can get that
project up and running. So
we did
the other one,
the agenda.
I think the Blue Springs and Wymore, there, they're concerned we were going to take it down before
going to put
we
that
had
yeah, right
the
there.
New one going, and we Lisa assured them, no, we're going to. Well, there was some concern that we were because of
yep.
the meeting we had and stuff when we had the issue with before the softball tournament that were we going to go take it down right away?
Well, we're just going to sit Doug Kennedy down there with a radio and let him relay everything.
I thought relay. That was Road and Bridge. Terry's not here. Who's done?
Well, let's see. I guess there was the permits that was talked about in Hanover Township for trenching. The bids for the railroad crossing on Hickory Road that's going to be opened on June 6th. The Adams Northwest Bridge we had discussion on, and we're going to have further discussion today. It's on the agenda. May 9th, the bridge will start north of Odell replacement. June 5th to the 7th, there's motor grader training with Gage and Jefferson Counties involved, plus any townships that wish to. And June 4th, Jefferson County is hosting a backhoe training. And May 18th, Galen and another individual will be taking CDL training for supervisors in Papillion. And Galen's going to have his crew try to put down some tack oil and a little bit of armor coating gravel to fix some pine cracks in the Adams Philly blacktop. And Eric had a call-out pay policy for the highway department that we discussed. And the gravel hauling is half done for spring allotment.
Anything else? Anything else for any of the committees? If not, we'll move on to, we've never had anything on the agendas for red before, but we put them in red here. We call it emergency item. And this one here was Galen brought to us, and he'll come up and bring it up to us. And it's to emergency item BR0-7034, parentheses 18. Approve or disapprove engineering agreement in the amount of $18,250 with Speece Lewis for plan revision on federal aid project due to significant stream degradation.
Okay. Galen? Yesterday morning I had a call from Jody Gibson. She's with the Nebraska Department of Transportation on the Adams Northwest project. She said we had a problem with the project. It was discovered that there was severe scour in the channel underneath the old original bridge in that area, and she said that the plans would have to be updated because of this severe scour. And basically she said we need to get this done as soon as possible so there wouldn't be no delay in the bridge project on this structure. I asked her then a little bit of conversation. I said, well, all the work that we've done on this project and went back and redone. And I said that, and I gave you a copy of the explanation here from Speece Lewis. And, I said that, the topographic survey was performed in 1992 and you would have thought that would have been addressed because everything else basically had been addressed, you know, with this project. Well, she didn't have an answer for me on that. So I asked her at the time, I said, well, is there state and federal funds to pay for this? She says, no, that when this project was developed, all the PE engineering service was paid for by local funds. It wasn't like the some of the late ones that we had done when they kind of incorporated that into the project. So she said, there's no funds available for this through the state or the feds. I said, well, why can't I use my soft match credit funds? She says, no, because that's federal funds, and they can't be used for this project.
This is a federal project.
I understand, but the the PE wasn't part of this project, the engineering on this. So basically then I asked her, she told me originally, she said her estimate to get these plans updated for this was $25,000 to $30,000. I said, you got to be kidding me. And she said, well, that's my estimate. I said, well, I need something from the engineering to explain, number one, to my board of supervisors what all has to be redone and also for a price cost for it. And this was sent down by Speece Lewis from Tim Farmer. the things that they have to do to re-update the plans or redesign the plans if needed, and the list is on the sheet that I gave you.
And just so some of them, I guess, particularly the press, it says the above reference bridge has experienced significant stream degradation from the time the original topographic survey was performed in 1992. The flow line under the bridge is now 4.5 feet to 5 feet lower. This will require a major plan revision. Spieth Lewis Engineers will provide a plan revision for a lump sum fee of $18,250. This fee will include the following: surveying the existing channel, verifying the bridge hydraulics, revising all affected roadway plans, including the drop pipes, revising the bridge plans to modify the substructure heights, submitting a plan revision to the MDOT, which will include a summary of all charges.
Okay. So the degradation, is it 5 foot deeper?
Yeah, the channel over since 1992 has actually dropped 4.5 to 5 feet more than when that was surveyed.
So what's it cost to have a couple side dumpers full of rock, drop it in there, and bring the bottom of the stream up 5 foot?
At night.
Yeah. I mean, $20,000 versus a couple loads of rock to bring that up.
That's why these projects cost so much more now, though, is there's so many guidelines federally and through the state for every project. You have to – some of these projects have increased 20 to 30% just in the fake work up front. Well, not fake work, but the design work and the required submittals.
But the bridge itself isn't going to change. I mean, just
the bridge is going to change now, too. Now, because of that, you'll have to end up going deeper. I'm sure the load bearing is still going to be the same, but you're going to have taller members. This is the same bridge that got redesigned last year, thanks to our incompetent friends at the Board of Standards in Lincoln, who grandfathered all these projects, except they decided they weren't going to grandfather this one. So we've already overpaid on this, repaid to have it redesigned after it was approved because of the state of Nebraska and appointed board. And then now we're going to have to redesign it again. The bridge hydraulics, I'm pretty sure that the drainage basin there hasn't changed in the last, I don't know, million years. But they have to redo that, resubmit that. I mean, here's another $18,000 before construction costs. So I'm guessing you're going to see at least another 5 to 10 in, at least another 5 in construction costs.
Percentage increase in that?
$5,000 or $10,000, depending on what they decide to do with footings and stuff. I mean, it's going to be an increase. There's already an increase before. With including this Board of Standards, I bet we've got another, I mean, we guessed it, another 40 to 50. I bet we're closer to all said and done with the revisions. Galen, is 60,000 plus realistic on this and changes from the last time?
Together, we're probably closer to 100 grand. By
it's probably in the ballpark. I mean, really haven't.
It's a rough
that.
Number, but
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it could stretch closer to 100 depending on what they want to do.
It seems ridiculous to me that the flow line is now 4.5 to 5 foot lower, which creates less pressure, and I would think this would actually take pressure off of that bridge rather than increasing all the crap we've got to do to it.
And I'm not sure you're necessarily increasing the cost because they're probably going to bedrock anyway, you know, and that point hasn't changed, you know. I mean, more of it's going to be exposed, but
I bet they won't go to bedrock.
It just depends on when they cored it, you know, what's down there.
Maybe they should, when was it last cored? Maybe they should re-core it. maybe we should just redesign the entire project because it's a bad bridge.
Don't go there.
It's not far off.
I will say this though. I was out there, drove up there Sunday morning and looked at the project. They had the deck of the bridge all off already. So all they had left was the basically the sidewalls. I showed Gate on the picture, took a picture. So this isn't something like, well, let's wait a year or two and then go back and try and do it. The bridge deck is gone already. So that's why this became an emergency item, because that group is there already. They're working on it. It's not like the unfortunate thing of this is it's not like, well, let's wait 6 months and decide something different.
Of course not, because then they got you over a barrel.
Yes.
Or we could just put the project on hold and tell further notice and tell everybody to call Pete Ricketts.
Yeah. Yeah, good idea.
Well, I suppose we just have to do it.
We don't have much choice. It's just really unfortunate. I mean, just in design costs, there's an extra, between the redesign from the Board of Standards and this, it's an extra $30,000.
Almost $30,000, because it was over $10,000, $10,000 to $11,000 the other time, and then here you're at $18,000, $19,000. So it's for the county's cost of a redesign of just this bridge in the last couple of years has been almost $28,000 to $30,000.
Eric and Gary, you guys were still in high school when the last thing was surveyed, wasn't it?
I was in junior high.
I graduated in 92.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll be darned.
I was in junior high.
No, I mean, it's been a long time. I would have thought that would have been just part of it way back in the day. Just.
Well, I'm a little bit more like Matt here. Why weren't some of these things caught 5 years ago in the design of this bridge or when they were working on this project instead of, you know, these last-minute things that they're coming up with? That's probably more my question. That shouldn't be. It is, but it shouldn't be. So,
Mr. Chairman, who's been the engineer on this project the entire time? I you know, really, the state of Nebraska is probably absolved from this. It's whoever was doing the engineering work when they initially
started.
Mr. Farmer.
Yeah, so that's where... I mean, I'm surprised there was even plans or bids let or anything that someone wouldn't have looked back and said, oh, 92, we probably should look at that before.
Well, when they did a redesign on this the last time, I'm sure they were looking at structure just to bring it up to the current, the new code. I can't remember what that's called.
Yeah.
But, you know, I could see him not looking in the channel just because we had that hellacious rain that, you know, a couple years ago, and I'm sure we've just had some washout. It's just sad that a project drags out that long.
Yeah.
Yeah, to start with.
Fill the channel. It's just a little, can't you just fill it full of riprap, some clean riprap, drop it in there?
Not with our liberal friends in Washington, we can't.
I mean, geez, I remember back in the day when people would throw tires. You can still go down the Blue River and there's banks of tires that are stabilizing banks.
Just go float down the river on a canoe sometime. They're all over the place. Okay. Any more discussion? If not, we will go ahead and vote on this. Vote.
Do we have a motion in a second?
We
don't have a motion.
We had all the discussion. I thought we had a motion in a second. Oh, we need a motion to approve this emergency item and the engineering cost.
Or disapprove.
Or disapprove, either one. We may be here while they're voting again. So,
what line items is coming out of?
That's what I was going to ask. Is where would that money come from?
We could probably find it in my budget.
In your budget? Okay.
There goes your pizza.
Don't.
Make a motion. I wish the sheriff would say something like that once in a while.
Make a motion to approve, Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion to approve. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Hill. Any more discussion? Vote. 6-0 in favor. And then we also, the next item on the agenda, emergency item, approve or disapprove resolution to transfer $60,000 from miscellaneous general fund to Sheriff's Department jail budget for additional funding for obligations of said budget.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Hill, seconded by Lytle.
Bauman. Bauman made the motion.
Yeah, Bauman, I'll start looking next time.
Announce yourself.
Would you depend on my hearing?
Announce yourself. Would you?
Seconded by Bauman. No, I will start listening a little better.
Okay. Well, I know John was saying, Matt, you vote for it. Vote for it. Come on. I said, all right, I'll do it.
And we'll let Don explain this one a little bit.
It was motion by Bauman, seconded by Lytle. Correct?
Yes. Nope.
Right. Yes.
Yep.
I vote for, I have to bring a lot of stuff forward to John. I'm like... Man.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Lytle.
And this one is because it came to my attention that Gus spent more than what he has in his budget. So we have to transfer money to pay his bills.
Is this all commissary?
His budget, there's not enough money left in the line items in his budget, or his total budget to pay for all the claims this pay period that have came through. So that is why this is being transferred. We did one transfer earlier.
We'll probably do another one.
Was that the deal we transferred into earlier? Yes. And this is being done again. So, and has increased cost, and some of that's housing, and some of that's medical also. I know there were several medical claims that came through this time.
This is to the jail directly,
this
though.
Is the jail. I know it says Sheriff's Department jail budget, but it is out of the jail part of the budget. Technically, it's a Sheriff's Department jail's budget, but it is out of the jail. It's not out of the Sheriff's Department.
And as we discussed last time that we did this, this is directly related to the patrons that continue to like to stay with Gus and our friends in Kansas and out in the mid
Lexington.
Lexington. You know, when we continue to have 40 to 50 people that are wanting to be held by the Sheriff's Department, being fed by the Sheriff's Department, and given medical treatment by the Sheriff's Department, this is the result. So, unfortunate, not really where we want to be spending our money, but that is where we're at today. And another benefactor of the state pushing stuff down on local government also. So, the other thing that I guess I would like to say is that most likely we will probably see another one of these transfers before the end of the budget year.
Yeah. Eric?
That's what I was going to say, too, is when we looked at this a couple weeks ago or a month ago, we knew already we were going to be short somewhere between 30 and 50, I think. Or no, we were going to be short an additional 90. So even back then already, we saw we were that running that far behind. So we'll see at least another, probably at least another 30, if not another 60,000.
Well, when we approved the agreements with Washington County and with Lexington, when we approved the agreements, we knew that the numbers would put us over the jail budget. However, at that time, it was because of jail population, and that's continuing now. I think the last time I looked here in the last week, it was 42 we had listed on the page or whatever and stuff. So, you know, when I came on the board approximately 8 years ago, we were averaging in the low 20s or whatever all the time. And our jail held everyone. That's not happening anymore, unfortunately.
Even though this is expensive, though, if we look at what it costs us to hold them here versus what we can hold them elsewhere for, if I remember right, we were in the 30% really rough number to keep them somewhere else versus hold them ourselves. So financially, it makes good sense to outsource holding versus keep them here.
Well, and even Gus, I don't know if you want to talk about it later, but you have an issue. There's one or two of the cells over there that you're not using right now because they've damaged the lights, and we have to have new lighting in them. And you can't allow them to be in there because of potential of some hazards there with the lighting in one of the jail cells. So it's not a new facility anymore. So
when's the old part built? It's still got the flat iron cells on it.
Sheriff's living quarters, I think it was 1901.
So what if we got this on the historical registry and then use tourism dollars, because it's about putting heads in beds, and if people come and see the attraction, then maybe we can use some of those dollars to help fund the jail, because they're staying overnight, right?
Yeah.
Great idea. Great.
Yeah, we are putting heads in beds.
Yeah.
Just an idea.
Way to think outside the box.
I'm just trying.
Maybe we could put a few of these people down to Kensington. Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Any more discussion? If not, vote 6-0 in favor.
That was Resolution 18-12.
Resolution 18-12. Okay.
Way to keep up, clerk.
I know. Long days.
It's... Yeah. Next item, discuss and approve or disapprove Lancaster County / Gage County Law Enforcement Mutual Aid and Assistant Interlocal Agreement. Yes?
Okay, this is pretty much what you see is what you get. Roger's office looked at it, signed off on it. It's just basically the counties that work a lot with the task force that's around Lincoln are going to get this agreement signed. It just tells up front how to request assistance, who's going to be liable when calls happen, and what counties. and authority at that time the call happens. I think some of this transpired some time back when they had the individual shot up the Capitol, and they had two different agencies involved and who was responsible for what. So trying to get things cleaned up so everybody knows in advance, as well as governing boards, what goes on. And it's pretty much like it is what it is. It's just we're agreeing to do this, all the counties. And I don't know how many we got for sure, probably, I guess, in five or six, probably, along with Lancaster. So that's basically all it is.
And this was kind of initiated by Lancaster.
Yes.
County, right? This
yes.
Wasn't, yeah,
yes.
This wasn't initiated
right.
by
yeah.
some of the other counties.
No, this is something they started. They had some issues there, and they might want to get this cleaned up. And so everything on there is, you won't see the sheriff's signature on here for Lancaster because the commissioner signed off on his behalf, and that's what they want to do, and Roger's office was fine with that. So.
Any comments, Roger? Or?
No, I mean, basically, it's probably one of those housekeeping things that the actual process has been taking place for some time.
A long time.
A lot of good cooperation, and some of it also is backup, too, as far as if you run into a situation, you've got an agreement already in place that helps set up the chain of command. So, yeah,
yep.
Probably something should have been done a long time ago.
Probably should have been, yes.
Okay. Move to approve.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Hill. Eric?
This is only in the case of an emergency when you ask for assistance?
Yeah.
So they will not have any jurisdiction in Gage County whatsoever unless you specifically call them.
Right. Call for assistance for major case. A task force is down, working warrants, things like that, or something, major consequences, bigger investigation.
The state patrol didn't come anytime.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, but no, I mean, it says.
Don't rally him up.
Item 8, it says they'll have authority to arrest, detain suspects. I mean, I don't like giving any authority to outside agency to come into our county and do anything like that. But I mean, if it's just for specific. Isolated incidents. So, I mean, we're talking, you call, there's something going on, they come and help with this one thing, and then they get back out of Dodge.
That's exactly what this set up for. Special circumstances.
And then you can go and help them as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, we kind of have that now at the task force. This just clarifies it for everybody for everything we require. So.
Well, now, Lancaster County's had a terrible time having any money, and with their budget, are they going to bill us? Are they going to stick us for any cost here?
Not supposed to be. That's just a mutual agreement thing like that. We're helping each other out, and if they're down here in this county, we're the authority on it, and they follow our direction, but they're then enabled to make arrests. If they're someplace else in the county and we're over here, it's just kind of just tying things together.
Okay, but they won't bill us for that time for their deputies.
Shouldn't be. We don't for them. We've been doing this for, like Roger says, quite a while. We haven't billed each other for it yet. So,
one of the things to keep in mind, there are certain projects, if you will, that require additional manpower. And rather than trying to maintain the force that may be needed on certain circumstances, which would be very expensive for the county, you basically cooperate with surrounding counties, because we bring some people in sometimes from Oto.
Johnson County, Saline County, Jefferson County.
Provide expertise. So, yeah, and quite frankly, a lot of these folks, the biggest concern I see is like when we do effect an arrest, Eric, on something down here, it's not just to pick up somebody on a warrant. That's fairly simple stuff as far as legal proceedings. When they go in to do that, and all of a sudden they find, we got some meth here. Okay, it happens to be a deputy from Oto County that is the witness that does the investigation. When we go through that process, I have to utilize that witness and sometimes that's fun to try and coordinate with their schedule in Oto County to get them over here. So, again, there's give and take, but I think the way I see it from Gus's standpoint is to have a source of, they're not backups.
It's a resource. It's a resource.
Good people coming down and helping. Yeah. And like I said, they return the favor by going to the other counties too.
For isolated incidents, not because we're short staffed and we need something wasted like traffic patrol or something like that. We're not going
to patrol every team and construction project.
No, we use them quite a bit. There's surrounding counties. We'll share each other's dogs, helping out once in a while, because one dog can't do an entire building. So, no, it's not for traffic. That's
probably. Well, I mean, we're shorthanded. I just don't want, you know, we've already got plenty of other helpers. You know,
everybody's plenty busy and worried about coming to another county and writing tickets. No.
There's no DOT people on this task
force. No. You're so stressed out over traffic. I don't know what. Someday I think you need a hug. You know?
DOT is do, observe, teaming.
I like that. That's good.
Resource allocation.
That's why they're down here.
Okay, any more discussion? If not, we do have a motion and a second.
Yes.
Vote 6-0 in favor.
I'm writing that one down.
Next item on the agenda, approve or disapprove recommendation for special designated liquor license for event held on June 2nd, 2018 at Four Generations Barn, Pickle, Nebraska, and Lineweber Elk Farm. The original visit with Roger here a second, the original agenda did not have the Lineweber one on there. And that was added here also as kind of an emergency type thing because of the fact that we don't act on it today.
It's election time. Well, no, this came in late.
If we don't act on it today, it won't need to be acted on at our next meeting.
And when Dawn called, I just said put it on the agenda, and she sent it out to everybody that's on our list as well as the press. So basically, as best we could, we got it out to the public, so...
Move to approve.
I'll second Eric's motion.
A motion by Tiemann and a second by Lytle.
One question.
To approve. Okay. Sorry.
Roger, the one question I have is that where we have lumped two entities together in this, if it would be voted down, which I doubt that it will be, but it could be,
yeah.
Do we have the ability to come back and create a second motion for one at a time?
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. You could do that. And,
all right.
And a point of fact, as you go through these things, I think this is one of those because they're under an emergency heading type thing. In the future, if you have these things come up, probably Donald just put them on as a separate
item.
On this situation, it's kind of together, so rise and fall. But if there was like a concern that, for instance, that Gus had about one area, you know, whatever that would be from law enforcement standpoint.
And we do have recommendations from Gus and Doug.
Gus has included a letter along with each of the stating that he's fully aware of the applicant's request and do not oppose the issuance of the special designated license. He has sent a letter along with each of these.
Do we need to do these for each time they have like an event at somebody's barn or shop?
Yep. Unless they get a liquor license.
Because the owner of the facility has to maintain the license, and since they're bringing somebody in, then they've... Because I don't think that the Four Generations has their own.
No.
So anytime somebody has... Is it if they charge for the event? Or, I mean, how do you determine if they need
something?
You
know, we've done this at the Homestead, too, already a couple times. Homestead National Monument, because they've had functions where they had wine at or whatever and stuff, so...
That's what I mean. How do you determine if they need it? Is it anything where they sell tickets or if they are selling drinks? Or
selling drinks. And it's nice that I'm contacted because then I know what I got going in for that particular weekend. I can kind of staff accordingly if that's up to date.
So anytime anyone's selling drinks, so, I mean, if you're going to have something where you sell any type of alcohol, you have to go through this process.
I mean, if they provide it. To the guests.
Yeah, well, he's a fair old Pickle does quite a bit here in this place out of Lincoln. We're already licensed liquor establishments. When they come down and do this, they have to have a special designated permit in that jurisdiction.
Any more discussion? Otherwise, vote.
And this is for both, correct?
This is for both. That's the way the...
I know. I just want to make sure nobody wanted to... Okay.
6-0 in favor. Approve or disapprove parks and recreation grant for the village of Pickerel.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, seconded by Bauman.
I will just bring forward, I did speak with Ross Tronick up there, and of course he was asking me what the status of this was, and so I expressed to him. And they're going to have, when they do their dedication for their veterans park, they've got a brick in there, and they're... It wasn't my request or anybody from this board's request, to my understanding, but they're going to have a brick that says Parks and Recreation Grant, Meade County Parks and Recreation. So there'll be one of their bricks or plaques that will acknowledge where some of the funding has come from to improve the park. So just doing that on their own.
And this is a program that was set up probably, I don't know, maybe how many years ago, several years ago, Matt, and it's available to any of the city entities in the county, and they can apply for the $1,000.
It doesn't get used a lot. I know no. Don's had it on the website for some time, but it's, the time is outside. The grants have to be completed by the last day in April, then we approve in May. And, you know, I'll just read here real quick. The purpose of the grants is to provide funding to assist villages, cities in Gage County to develop new and or improve publicly owned parks, community centers, and playground equipment. The emphasis on this grant is to enhance recreational facilities and equipment for the promotion of healthy youth, families, and community activities. So everybody that's used, I think we talked about this the other day, Blue Springs is – or Wymore's use it for their historical barn, I think, at one point. Or that, not the barn. The,
not lately, they haven't.
It's been a while. Yeah. But what's not the barn? It's the
cabin. Well,
cabin.
Yep.
And I think Claytonia's used some. Pickerel's used about every year. So
Pickerel's been the most active.
It's not a high use, but it, they do appreciate it when it's just an extra source of.
Any more discussion? If not, vote. 6-0 in favor. Next up, approve or disapprove county handbook changes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Thiemann.
That was kind of like Terry was here, the way you just kind of scurried that along.
We need to talk about it.
I mean, we just updated the pages to coincide with the...
You're going to have to update us on them.
What we're voting on here.
That was to add the step part you wanted on to update the R's to read the same as FOP on funeral leave. We included the words or such relative designated as a step family member, and that went under the funeral leave, and that went under the sick leave, and that says or such relative designated as a step family member.
Okay.
I did call John and I said our sick leave we had voted as using immediate family in this case means employee spouse, children, grandchildren, mother, father, or parents of spouse or such relative designated as a step family member. I do know the FOP does not have grandchildren in there. And so I don't know if your intent was to have it identical or not, but that's how the officials did it and brought it to you. So this is what it reads now.
When we had the discussion with FOP, it was the step family. That was the main part of the discussion. And I don't know if we ever looked at or decided to talk about any of the rest of it. The whole
children is not in theirs?
No, it isn't. Because I was getting the wording on the step the same so that we put it in here. Because that was your intent to do that is the way I understood it. And I just noted that. So I just want to make it clear to you all that it isn't identical.
We don't get any cars to take home. That seems to be a fair trade-off.
So here would be my question, just as an employee relations statement. Is all that does is designates where they can use their benefit hours. It's not that somebody can't take time off of work.
Nope.
They could use vacation. And I would find it hard-pressed that any manager or director that I know that works for the county that would refuse anybody time off to go to a funeral of a person.
Oh, this one is sick leave.
Or sick leave.
Funeral does not have that. Well, I mean, it has it. That's the
either
same.
Way.
But the sick leave is the difference between the two.
I'm saying that's...
Right.
But the word on the grandchildren, then, if that's not in the FOP, that's not, and that's something they'll have to negotiate next time. You know,
I just wanted to make sure.
But I mean,
that
if that was in our, that's been in our handbook, the grandchildren in there. What we needed to bring up to date was the step family members, because that is in the FOP agreement, and our discussion with them was we would update this handbook after that got approved.
Yeah. But there's, again, it's not that they can't get the time right.
Yeah.
And if, I mean, who... Who wants, I mean, who's going to be that big of a jerk? Eric?
Yeah.
So those two changes are being made. And what we're doing is today is we're bringing up bringing this into our handbook in compliant with the FOP agreement.
Can we include Eric's call-out pay?
No, that we're not ready to include.
Looks
yet.
Pretty good to me.
Looks pretty good to you. Well, we
I don't know. I'm confused about that. I don't think it's clear enough. I think it needs to be explained so that I can understand it.
It's pretty simple, Matt. Big ol' X.
Let me go into the Batman dissertation on that.
We made the decision. We didn't make the decision. The discussion at our committee meeting was that we needed to have another meeting or two to discuss the call-out pay and not include that at this time.
Okay.
So today it's only those two.
All in one.
Nice job on the coffee. Super
all right,
isn't
it? It's all right. Any more discussion? Not vote. 6-0 in favor. Oh,
Mr.
Discussion
Chairman,
on
do
Blue
you want
Springs
to,
Tower.
Do you want to visit on the handbook changes on the call out pay at all today, or does that just go back to
no?
We don't have an.
Oh, you weren't asking me. We're
on agenda,
Mr. Former Chairman.
It could be under handbook changes.
It's
still
technically
on there.
Yeah, you could. If you want to have discussion, go right ahead. Otherwise, Eric did bring a proposal or some written comment or proposal to the board there on Monday that we can have some more discussion on a call-out pay policy that we would update in our handbook. So we had some discussion on Monday, and we kind of decided that we needed more meetings to have more discussion on it yet before we forwarded that on to a vote.
Well, I'll start off. I think Eric's thinking about discussing, and I'll start off by saying by and large, I like what Eric has come forward with. It does seem to make it pretty clear that what call out is. It seems, of course, we thought we were clear last time too,
yeah.
But it does seem to be pretty clear. It's black and white. You know, it's not a continuation of the day. It's where you've been called out in a certain situation. So I kind of like it.
If it's something that you think we might go forward with, I think it's something that we ought to get out to some of the employees so that we can get some feedback from them. I really do, especially the highway department. They're quite often. And
that's a question I have for you guys, too. Are we using this as an on-call policy? Because I got both directions. You know, two-hour minimum pay, that was pretty much everyone agreed on that. Time and a half. Normal pay in addition to their vacation time or their benefit time. Time and a half normal pay when they get called out. So whenever they get called out, they're at time and a half. On the holidays, so they're getting a holiday pay. If I understand right, that's separate. We don't pay attention to that. So that's just a paid benefit, 8 hours. Whatever. Forget about that for now. Then they get an additional double time or two and a half times?
Time and a half.
So they get time and a half.
Number three should read time and a half for hours worked plus their due holiday pay.
Okay, so where I have two or two and a half times, that could be 1.5 times, which then the next line... number four, be paid coinciding call-out rate above. So that'd be they'd be paid at time and a half, 1.5 times rate, in addition to any benefit hours, holidays, paid vacation.
Yep.
Yeah, holidays or paid vacation.
And that's where the confusion has come now is that, you know, it's just two and a half times, but then somebody else thinks, plus my holiday time.
But that's the consensus of the
time and a half for the hours work. Because on a holiday, you might work 4 hours or 6 hours, and you should get paid time and a half for those hours, plus you should get your 8 hours of holiday pay.
Is that what you meant by that? That was the intent as
well? The intent was two and a half plus you get your benefit. No, I'm telling you, that's what it was before. We don't have to do that going forward, but that is exactly what it was before.
Okay.
Because it's low volume. It's taking them away from their family to do something. All I'm saying is it purposefully was premium pay and it was a low volume. But if we want to do it differently, well, then that's okay. But it was meant to be a premium pay.
And that's where I'm okay with whatever, too, and I want Supervisor Juergens here before we do anything on this. But that'll make it easier if we start steering it towards this way. That's where that next paragraph comes in, though. Are we using this as low volume where it's a call out? They're going out and doing signs. They're going and doing, there's an accident, so they're doing signs. They're going out and fixing something immediate, short term, small crew. Or did you intend this to be right now? And correct me if I'm wrong, Galen. Right now it's used whenever we do snow. Anytime guys are going outside of, you're on 7 to 3:30, correct?
Called out.
So anytime outside of 7 and 3:30, is it called call-out pay?
Yeah. Call-out.
Okay, so I mean, that's something else. I'm not saying this has to be the way it is. It doesn't really matter to me how we do it. I just want everybody to agree on it so we can tell the guys what it is. Because the way I wrote this, it is basically like an on-call policy and isolated call-out where that volume is very small. If we use it as anything outside of 7 to 3:30, all of a sudden that volume's increased a lot. So, I mean, I just want you to be aware of that.
No, I think call-out is across the board, whether it's emergency or not, it's low volume.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, we've probably spent a lot more brain power doing this than Galen ever does when he actually uses it. But, again, we're changing it because when we had a different board here, we were in congruency. Now we're just changing it. The biggest thing is that we're congruent in our thought. We're consistent in our thought and process so the employee knows.
That's the biggest thing. Yeah.
That's their biggest complaint is they think that it's one way. I went down twice and explained it to them. They completely understood it, but it wasn't consistent across. So now that we're changing that, we just have to make sure that everybody understands. That's their biggest complaint is that it was...
They understood it on holiday call-out time that it would be just like any county employee gets your pay for your holiday. If you're called out on a holiday, they got an additional 2.5 times above their original pay like any other county employee does for holiday call-out pay only. Okay. Anything other than that was around 1.5 times if it was not on a holiday.
And I think that's why Monday we didn't want to put anything on the agenda now and vote on it or anything, because we need a little bit more discussion yet and some more future meetings. And I think what we really need too is this proposal that Eric has. We need to have this shown to or visited with employees to see what kind of feedback we get from them and stuff, so that we just don't implement it. Gary,
nothing against Galen, but I guess. Where this does affect the highway department, I guess my thought would be to maybe bring the foreman in and into our Monday meeting as we're talking about it in committee and have Galen plus the foreman. And that way you're hearing more than just Galen's voice. I mean, because that should get you a good feel for the whole highway department, I would think.
I think next committee meeting, if you want to, Galen, see if one of the foremen wants to come in and visit too, or have a discussion. When we have a discussion, I think it'd be good.
Or all of them,
Whichever.
The way this is written right now,
like to come in.
The way this is written right now, it would be like an on-call policy. It is not for any day extensions. It's just you get called out, you get paid for that. Not just you come in earlier, you run late. So, I mean, the way this is written right now, you know, if you start at 2 and work till whenever, those outside hours are not at 1.5 except at 40 hours. And that's not the way it has to be. It's whatever the board wants it to be. I just want something just incredibly
what
clear.
What you wrote this to be was so that if somebody didn't come up to their 40 hours in a week, they still had this policy of on-call policy and got paid different. Because the way it is right now... If somebody works late on Friday afternoon by 3 hours and they didn't come up with their 40 hours for the week, then that's not overtime or late.
They still get paid call out right now.
It's straight time. It's paid until they get to the 40 hours. So what this is, and that's a good distinction, is that we're trying to – this would be different than that thought process.
But if I understand right, right now somebody works till 7.
Called out. They get their extra right. overtime whether they
but,
get 40
hours. But if I understand right, right now if they work, say, 20 hours in a week, but they work late on one day, so if they were supposed to get off at 3:30 and they work till 7 or whatever, you know, sometime after, those hours after their 3:30, those are paid at time and a half right now. Is that right? Those are considered call out?
If they have the 40 hours.
Well, then that's overtime. That's not call out.
If they get called back, if they clock out at 3:30 and they get called back at 4:00, they're using call out pay. So
if
that's
they're
time.
Called back in, yes.
But if they can, if they continue their day past 3:30, they are not paid at call out rate.
It's not call out. No, they're not called
overtime.
Out. No.
It's the extension of the work day.
Yeah. Okay, so this would be right still with that. Then there, it's not an see. I was afraid that would shorten everybody. That would cut the guys on that because right now it says if you extend the day earlier or later, the way this is written, if you extend the day earlier or you extend the day later, that is not call-out pay. That's just regular hours. So that wouldn't affect anyone then. They aren't paid for additional hours outside of that.
They are if they start in the mornings, like if they're going to push snow, if they start at 4 o'clock or whatever, they're using it as call-out.
I'll use snow removal. Mm-hmm. If they're called at home and say, we're going to start tomorrow morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, okay? When they get called and say, you be in here at 4 o'clock, that's call-out pay for that segment.
From 4 till 7.
Yes. They're called in early. I mean, it's not a regular schedule. You'd be a normal, you show up at 7 o'clock. They're called and say, you be here, whatever, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, whatever. That is call-out pay.
And that would be something to, I mean, the way this is written now, if that's what we do, we need to take out, you know, right now it's basically an on-call policy for an emergency on-call. What's written right here? If we want to do that for snow and stuff like we are currently doing, that'll have to be changed in this. And like I say, this is written for an emergency on-call type situation. So any changes, don't think it's going to hurt my feelings or anything. Whatever we end up with, I just want all of us to agree on it. And just have something completely straightforward for the employees.
I agree with this because it's a change.
But and it is a change.
It is a change. It's basically the same. It's just less money for the employees.
Right. And that's where we have to figure out where we want to be at.
And that's where, and we did this way back in the day, is that you have to define benefit hours and worked hours. These are worked hours. Benefit hours are completely outside of this. So when we talk about holiday, we shouldn't even talk about it. You know, if you get called out on a holiday, but where? So that's where, because an employee, say Monday, Tuesday was a holiday, and then they work 3 8-hour, they think they got a 40-hour work week, and it's like, well, no, you've only got 24 hours of worked hours, and you've got 16 hours of benefit hours, and they're separate currently under our system. But it's just explaining it to them. This is just a change. I mean, that's all it is.
But it is going to be a change if, I mean, just as written now, those hours in the morning wouldn't be paid at call-out rate. Those would be a day extension. If we're going to pay those at call-out rate because they're called in early, we just need to make sure that this takes that into account.
Well, that's where I think you administer this with the employee, Galen, as I'm pointing at him. He's in charge down there. And he should have the authority and fully understand this, and we should support him that if he designates a call-out, that discussion is between us.
No, I agree. And I want to make sure that he doesn't say something to the employees, and then he does that, and then he comes to us, and we say, well, why'd you do that? I just want it black and white so that when he says it, he doesn't have to worry about coming in every time and explaining himself, because I know Galen loves to come see us, but...
But it's somewhat. But and then when we do get into that
conversation,
oh yeah, I mean he doesn't want to do this. The guys don't want to, or the employees don't want to do this. None of us want to visit about it.
I have went back through and on Matt's original and Terry's original thing that they wrote up. There was always questions that it wasn't black and white. I went back through and redone basically his policy to a policy that. I don't know how you can get any blacker and whiter if you'd like to have a copy of it.
So let's see it.
Yeah, you did great.
Yeah, let's see it.
Thank you.
That's the new one, and the original one is attached to the back of it.
Thank you, Gail.
I have not added anything basically different to what the original was, other than I tried to clarify it more for everybody. This is what the employees have been, what we've been working under and off of, for what they all understand, for what we've been getting for pay.
The only time anybody can put anything in their comp time bank is if it's over 40 hours. So those kind of things are going to have to come off. Only if they work over 40 hours is what the law allows to go into a comp time bank, because that is a time and a half.
But we didn't realize that before.
Oh, I know. And that's what I'm just saying, even on this one, that would be the change.
Yeah.
Because then if they don't put it in the comp time, they're just paid for it.
Correct.
Yeah, really the only change from in Eric's policy is we're going from, on number three there, it goes from 2.5 to whatever we decide on, 1.5, I guess it's proposed. And I still contend that number one is the most important statement in the policy. And I like the way the overtime policy is included in this, too, where it designates basically what is benefit hours and what is worked hours.
And way down here at the bottom line, it says employees must work in excess of 40 hours per week to receive overtime pay or comp time. The last sentence says that in there.
But you have it up here. That can't be up above.
But this last line says that they have to work 40 hours or they can't do comp time.
Right.
Yeah, so number two, it should say at the end, employees' regular hourly rate, period.
Period.
And then just take out that last.
Same on three.
Who's the grammarian in the word? What's the portion of the sentence after the comma? Come on, you two. One of you's a written word, one of you's a spoken word. Come on. This all falls on you, Scott. All right.
My question to you guys is this call out on the snow. That is their job. They're hired to push snow as a highway department employee, the same as my employees are hired to work elections. They don't have an option. They cancel everything. They cannot take time off. They have to work an election. So what is the difference of that? Then somebody knowing when they hire on to highway department, you're going to be pushing snow, you are a nurse, you're going to be working long shifts, you're a sheriff's deputy, you're going to be called out. Everybody has a unique job where you work.
Here's a schedule, though. I mean, that's the only distinction
I would
know.
Well, they still have to do it. They still have to do it. Okay? But they're calling them the day before and telling them that they're telling them we're going to start early the next morning. That's not an emergency.
I appreciate what you're saying, but I would reference Easter.
Okay, so Easter.
How do you
plan? We don't have that well, I understand.
Easter's not a holiday either.
We don't have that as a
holiday.
No,
but it would have been a call out on a Sunday versus, yep. That's the point. I'm not picking it as a holiday because you only celebrate the birth once. The rebirth doesn't count, I guess. Anyway, but so what are we going to flex everybody's time on Monday? So we get Monday off because you worked Sunday.
I don't know. That's just my concern because there's other employees that are involved that see all this and want to know
why I'm not treated the same way.
The big difference that I see in your statement, and I'll go for, say, courthouse employees, how many times do they work overtime on Christmas, New Year's Day, or major holidays? Okay, their work is for like election time. Yes, they work overtime. Okay, but the big thing here is the 2.5 times on the holiday pay when they're at home and their families are at home for Christmas, and we have a snowstorm, and their people have to leave. And I'm using this for an example because it does happen. New Year's, the major holidays is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about
the holidays. I'm talking about just the regular snow days that they start early, and we're paying them call-out pay to start at 5 o'clock, and then they start the regular shift at 7, and then that's not a holiday. Okay. I'm not talking about
holidays. How many times did you call your people and say, hey, be in at 4 o'clock, and we got this here that we've got to do? That's my example. As far as the sheriff's department, they know on their schedule they're 24-7, basically. And I don't pay attention to their schedule, so don't quote me in all this what I say. But they know that during their, and it don't matter if it's a blizzard or not, if they're scheduled to work, they're going to work. Okay? Ours, this is all by act of nature. We get called out for a tornado, okay? We're not scheduled for that, okay? So that's the difference that I see from your statement compared to what we do. How many times do you have to go out during Christmas and work, New Year's work, et cetera, et cetera? Or go out early on those?
Galen, I'm not.
See, that's what I'm going from. That's all I have to say.
So I have special elections, too, that just were ordered to do a special election. I've had one every year except for this year and in 2007. That changes people's schedule. And I appreciate what you're saying. I'm just saying that we have other employees, and a call out to me is not starting your day early. I don't pay mine that come in at 6 o'clock call out pay. They get overtime if they hit over 40 hours, but I don't pay them call out.
Gail, I lean towards Dawn on this, but I see the in between there. Is that seem like an in between? Because whatever we come up with, it's going to be a change here, or possibly a change, you know, depending on what we end up with. But on the major holidays, it does happen quite a bit. I don't know how many holidays I've missed with the kids growing up. I mean, and this year, Easter, which was an oddball one. It's the first Easter I've missed. But on the major holidays, if we would address something on that, you guys don't push snow after dark. Is that right? Do you push snow in daylight hours? Because
We try to do daylight hours, but I mean, we want to have the truck, say, on the road by 6 o'clock. So they'll come in at 5 o'clock, and that's an example. Or if we're out pushing and they got to finish their route, if it gets dark, they've got to go until the route is finished.
See, on that
side. So it's not set in stone. We try not to be out there because it's hard to see out there on our blacktop roads, especially if the snow's blowing and stuff like that.
Yep. It is. It's rough to be out there. I would lean on stuff like that. Just paying regular time, regular hourly and over 40, time and a half. On the holidays, myself, I don't have any problem paying a premium like what you're saying, Matt, like at 2.5 times or something or whatever the board would say, and designate those holidays. I would say, I would have Easter in there, but, Christmas,
Maybe we need a snow policy line in here.
No.
Or whatever.
No, well, absolutely not.
Well, that's the thing, though. Is this call out, or is this anything over the 40-hour work week or the set hours? I mean, that's what we have to decide, is how are we going to treat this? Are we going to continue it like it is? If it's going to work completely like it is, let's word it like Galen has it and put it in there just so that it's black and white. Are we going to pay premium on holidays? Are we going to pay anything outside of regular hours at time and a half? Myself, I would lean towards anything, even unscheduled. If you have to come in early, you have to come in late or stay late, regular hourly. But at the same time, I wouldn't have any problem with premiums on holidays.
We've had a lot of discussion. I think as we do our next committee meeting here in 2 weeks and our next board meeting, we'll put an item on the agenda again and have a discussion and see where we come at. This gives everybody some time to think about it. It also gives, we got feedback from Gaina now. I wanted feedback from the employees, and I imagine some of those. And if the supervisor, not supervisors or whatever, if they would like to come at their next committee meeting, that would be great, too, and we'll have that visit then and stuff. So.
And I appreciate this, too, Galen. And like I say, all I'm asking is for everybody to think about it. Whatever we end up with is, yep. I mean, nobody has to be completely happy with it, but as long as we just have one straight path that there's no...
Gary?
One question that goes back to this whole deal here. What was the big... What was, and Matt, hopefully Matt can answer this maybe. What was the big reason for this? Because quite frankly, when you step back away from this and you look at it, where we pay overtime over 40 hours, and generally all of these people should have 40 hours on, when we're pushing snow or doing any of these things, we should generally always have over 40 hours of worked hours. Why are we even spending 10 hours a year discussing this when, I mean, that's what we're, I mean, we're spending 10 hours a year in this setting discussing this crap. When I don't, it's got to be out 5%, maybe not even that many of them hours that are not already covered.
I'll say that because the highway department for years was administering a policy from the old bargaining unit, and when that dissolved, they were still using policies from the old. So we thought, and we've tried to go back, which is why we have the handbook, and this is one of the policies that came up. And we said, well, wait a minute, that doesn't exist anymore. We have to have something. So that's why we came
with that. You're right.
I would just say that it's, these are low-volume issues, and every once in a while you get an opportunity to define the employer-employee relationship. And whether we look at doing something different, we live in a 24-hour world. It's not everything is Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. The expectation of the public is different. So, again, these are low-volume items. We kick this around exceedingly more than it's probably even used, but it does define how we value our employees and how we treat them in instances outside of what we would normally expect them to work.
Here's the biggest issue, though, is treating everyone the same. And
you're right.
You can't.
I'll say similar.
I didn't want to do this, but we're coroners. And that's part of the reason that I've got to set salary for my deputies. You know, they can be out all night and have to come back in the next day and do their job from 8 to 5 when the courts are open. And that's the way it is. When I hire them,
You just made the argument for getting rid of this completely.
And that can be Christmas. That can be the 4th of July.
But the argument you've just made is get rid of this altogether part of the
what
job.
What I'm saying is every department, and I understand you want to be fair to all. Fair to all is not equal to all. That's a concept in America that has gotten completely skewed. I don't go out and push snow. I go out and look at dead bodies. That's the word. I mean, that's my job. And it also includes my deputies. If I'm not able to, it includes law enforcement. They're first on the scene. So to treat me the same, or me, my employees the same as Galen's isn't fair. It isn't fair to the election commissioner's employees that are here till who knows, because the results have to be given that night.
But that argument's a really good one. It steers us towards this is part of the job. They should be paid the same. I mean,
but that's,
it's
that
part of the
premise.
Like you said,
accurate.
When you hire on, this is part of the job. I mean,
well, you're wrestling with a concept with your initial premise that I think leads you down the wrong path. And again, I'll get butchered for saying this, but everybody's got a different job in the county. I think you start with everybody does their job well. But my department's different than Gus's, it's different than Galen's, it's different than the treasurer, different from the assessor and the clerk. And yes, the employees will all compare and say, that's not right. Well, go push snow. I mean, we all have that opportunity. If I don't like doing what I'm doing, Galen probably wouldn't hire me, but I could go down there and get a job. So I'm just throwing it out as I listen. You're all trying the same to get to the same thing where it's fair to everybody, and I don't know if you're going to ever get to that, is what I'm saying. But, I mean, it's good to look at it from the standpoint. I think you made some good suggestions, and I agree with Galen.
One more comment from Matt. We're going to move
on
here.
The chairman of employee relations is Supervisor Hill, and I believe that this should all be turned over to him, and he should come up with something.
Well, that we can all know.
Yes.
All right.
No, we don't have it on the agenda, so we can't vote on it. So.
I'll make this final statement. I agree with Myron. We've had enough discussion for today. Bring it back in 2 weeks.
We need to bring it back in 2 weeks. This is, and we may discuss it, I don't know how many times going forward yet, but at least we're having more discussion. So thank you, Galen.
Yep.
Thank you for bringing us
thank
something,
you.
Too.
And,
Oh, now I got to find my agenda back here. Next up on the agenda. Approve and certify or disapprove the list of those volunteers who qualify as an active emergency responder. Oh, sorry. I had mine checked off already. We talked discussion on Blue Springs Tower.
Oh.
If there's one thing we talk about more than call out pay, it's been the Blue Springs Tower. I'll just make that comment.
And radio.
Yeah, can we include communications in this as well? And radios. Yeah. We haven't talked about the dog for a while. What about cars? What's the cars?
I guess, do you want me to open this up, I guess?
Yep.
So I guess my thought is that we should. What we need to talk about is the bid from Zephyr. The bid from Zephyr, you have $28,730 that covers the removal of the tower, of getting it down and removing that tower. That does not include any removal of any of the concrete.
It includes 24 inches below grade.
Yeah, it includes some.
Yeah, excuse me, you're right, it does. It includes the 24 inches below grade. And that's for $28,730.
That's been approved, correct, Gary?
That was approved. The additional line item, which we have discussed a couple of different times and we discussed again Monday, was to fully remove all concrete from the ground, backfill, and remediate the site. And that would be an additional $9,100, $3,500 in labor, and $5,600 in subcontractor costs. I guess the issue is that this was done long enough ago that nobody knows how big that concrete slab is underneath the ground. And let me tell you, a little bit of something I ran into that would have been roughly same time frame as the building of this tower. Concrete obviously wasn't that expensive them years back because, you know, I started a project over at the elevator that we started out with 2 foot of concrete, and by the time we got back to the last portion we wanted to cut, it was up to 6 foot of concrete, and it created a lot more expense in our project. So What we have here, and nobody has any way of saying without digging down and finding it, how much concrete is actually here. Some of the discussion that we have had is that by getting it 24 inches below grade, are we leaving the property in a form that somebody's going to be able to use it? So I guess my thought is that we continue to move forward with the way we've approved it at this point, and that's to spend the $28,730 to get it 24 inches below grade.
And leave it at that.
And
this discussion came about because when we had the issue with the tower here a couple weeks ago again down there and went down and visited with them, that came about how it was going to be taken down and what all was going to be taken down, and they had some concerns that maybe all of the block should be taken out, not just 2 foot down. So
how many blocks of concrete are there?
Six.
I have a unique idea that they could use to get rid of it. They could do a raffle and split the pot, and everybody guesses how much is down there. And then we use half the pot to dig them up, and then the person that gets closest to it gets the other half.
And
otherwise,
you're never going to see it.
Otherwise, you're never going to see it.
So I guess we truly won't know until they get down there and start working on the blocks.
Are there any development plans currently right there, John?
Yeah, I think there is for the one north
of the
ball
field. Or like ball field construction.
Yep.
It's a great location for surface.
Yep.
They're looking to put another ball field there, John. Is what you're saying?
I think what was it? It was a pitching cage or batting cage or something.
Well, it depends on who you talk down there and who wants to bring up ideas and thoughts. And one of them brought up something about, well, if they were putting another ball field in. There aren't any plans today, I don't think, the way I took it. But then that's kind of an unknown, too. And we always, all we told them was we'll keep in contact with them. And
And when this tower does come down and when they're there at the construction site, that's about the first time we'll really know what the blocks are like.
I heard they were putting in a dog track.
Well, I guess I'll add a little bit to that. If you build a ball field there and you got 24 inches of open dirt, the facility out at Hannibal Park here in town, which is probably one of the better ones in the state, especially when it comes to having an inch and a half to 2 inches of rain and being able to play on it in 3 to 4 hours if the sun comes out.
Pretty good pitch there, Gary. God, that's...
Yeah. It is for Mark Pethod, because Mark Pethod and his crew in the city parks do an excellent job of building ball fields.
Keep going.
But if I recall correctly, what has been done in the past out here when you build an infield is you go down about 16 inches and you put about 8 inches of gray lime from out at Sites Quarry, and then you come back on top with a red brought in agri-lime from another area. So that's 16 inches. That leaves you another 8 inches below there of whatever fill that is put in there. So as far as a ballpark goes, and quite frankly, we've discussed putting concrete blocks in, like in your pitching areas and your hitting areas, at about a 4-inch depth to keep from them being dug out all the time. So having a hard surface under it really isn't going to affect a ballpark.
Yeah. Well, you put the mesh underneath that, like home plate too,
right,
keep it from eroding.
Right, exactly. And then I had the pleasure of help me and another county employee, Rod Aiden, the two of us built the second batting cage out at Hannibal Park here about 3 years ago, and. As far as sinking poles in the ground for that, if you were to hit a concrete block area, it would be a deal where you just have to drill through it. And I don't think that would be too much of a deal with the people that we have around that are capable of doing that.
No. I think the only time it could be an issue is if they required some dirt to be moved to level the field, to where they wanted it, and then if that came off of one of these sites, might get close.
Yeah, that'd be true.
I know there's no plans for any type of a building there either, but, somebody even brought that up. Well, what if someday somebody puts a building up there and then, they're going to pour footings or whatever, and now all of a sudden they hit a cement?
You know what?
Thing. So,
it happens every day.
Yeah. Well, no, I know that, but that's just part of the discussion that they brought up that night, so that's why.
And really the one thing we do need to do is to get an agreement with Wymore or Zito Media as to who's going to receive the building and the equipment that's in it.
Matt, we were looking through that, and I don't, maybe Roger had a chance. We were looking through that Monday. Is there an out for us as far as Zito? As far as Zito.
I got to talk to Lisa. I got a couple of questions as far as where they're going with it. So
right, because my thought is that we need to get out of that and then just leave Zito, and we don't want to put something on Wymore's or Blue Springs community. We need to be out of that and let those two entities work together.
Well, and basically, with Galaxy, and that's what I want to talk to her is what are our future obligations or relationship with Galaxy. And, I mean, if we're out, I'd rather not talk to her.
Yep.
Open session.
Because that agreement goes through 2025.
Yeah.
We can just send somebody the electric bill, which we haven't been doing for the next 8 years, and be done with it.
Okay. So I just want to check and see if we're just going to put an antenna or something else.
Okay. On the next item on the agenda then. Approve and certify or disapprove the list of those volunteers who qualify as an active emergency responder, active rescue squad member, or active volunteer firefighter for the calendar year 2016 and 2017, and file a list with the Department of Revenue.
Why are we doing it? Well, motion to approve.
Yep.
Second.
A motion by Bauman and second by Thiemann. What?
This is only the Adams Fire and Rescue Squad?
No. 2 years ago, approximately 2 years ago, here is the bill that was passed. And they passed a bill, the legislature did, that allows the people that qualify for this to take, I believe it's a $250 credit on their
Nebraska tax
Nebraska state taxes. they passed this now, and this is one of this is part of one of the things that was in there that they needed to do was you needed to have this list that had to be approved by county boards and so on and turned over to the Nebraska Department of Revenue and everything before that could be done. Jenny Bollmeyer, who was Senator Wallman's aide, she's on our rescue squad up at Adams. And when we found out about this, some people were really excited, well, they'll get that on there. And then Jenny made the comment that, well, all the paperwork you're going to have to do and all those stuff you're going to have to do, she didn't know if that many people would ever do it because of, she said, the money you're getting back for it, you're going to spend a lot of this time putting out to get that back. She thought that would be not used that much. Now, however, then here we sit here, and here's some people from Adams that are applying for it.
Is it only folks from Adams right now?
That's the only ones that we have right now that have filed to do this. But part of the reason we're doing this is it's a requirement that the county board
right.
does it.
And basically, you got 2 years. The legislature passed a new bill that basically extended it into 2017, but they have to have separate forms. And the unfortunate thing is that Don's going to have to fill the form out and put the names and the requirements. And they have to certify to the board, which these people have done, that they've performed at least, they got 50 points. Yeah. And the statute breaks it down like going to train, so many calls, yep. yada, yada, yada. And basically it's the state, quote unquote, giving a reward to volunteer people. And they also expanded it from originally 2016, they added another class of people, and I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember.
It's again, it's a volunteer first responder. But no, it's basically who it is.
Volunteers. They wanted to do it to help people, maybe encourage more people to be volunteers and so on and stuff like that, and a benefit for them because right now the volunteers don't, and that was why some of the original intent of the bill.
And there's no, basically from your standpoint, there's no liability or risk. They are verifying these people yep. on these lists have complied with the 50 points or above, and so they're eligible to be certified. And then Don will complete the form that we got from the Department of Revenue, send that in. The timeline on this thing is unbelievable. It's like they've got 20 days after April 12th to get it done. We have 30 days after April 12th. To certify it, so that's why it's on the agenda today, and that's
and Roger brought up a good point too, Jenny, when she talked to our squad about it. You have to have so many points, and there's that's all listed in there how you come up with points, because a lot of the people, if you don't go to enough events or not enough events, enough training and so on and meetings and all that stuff, you won't get points. So it's got some pretty strict qualifications in it. So did we have a motion? We had a motion and a second.
I made a motion.
Nope.
I made a motion too.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by
Thiemann.
Vote 6-0 in favor. Anything else anybody have? Otherwise, we have a closed session for security.
I know nobody wants to talk about the handbook stuff, but think about it hard. Maybe we can buy next. Two Wednesdays from now, maybe we can get something back to.
Put it on in 2 weeks. John will have everything done as chairman of human relations.
I think he should be ready to go.
Thank you, John.
Human relations.
It's on Apple Road. It's actually, if you go up 34B, 3 miles north is Apple Road, and then you got to go a mile and a quarter east. It's on the Nemaha. You guys,
look for the stream that's down about 5 foot.
When we approved it, we had to approve it for the contractor at that time, and I don't know if that could be public or not. It was somewhere between 900 and 1,000. And I know at that time,
it cost us $20,000. Only in
there. Throw some riprap in there and bring it.
Okay, we're going to take it. Well, we got to go into closer. Well, let's take a break now.
I know.
Oh. Okay. I saw that. It's a threat.
Are you okay?
We're back from recess at 10:30 on the clock.
Were you scared?
No. I
will entertain a motion to go into closed session at 10:30 on the clock for security. Okay. Who made the motion?
Second.
Nobody.
Motion by Thiemann, seconded by Byers.
and we need to go into closed session necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual, and it is for security reasons.
Vote.
5-0 in favor, with Bauman now having left. Yeah, he's not over there.
Okay.
We're ready. Yeah.
Ready?
Yep.
You're on.
Entertain a motion at 11:29 on the clock to come out of closed session.
Move to adjourn.
Moved by Gary Lytle. Second by Eric Thiemann. Vote. 5-0 in favor. Anything else for the good of the order?
Move to adjourn.
Not will adjourn.